Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast, where we meet with leaders from across the procurement community to discuss innovative and strategic ideas. Because when it comes to procurement, every decision matters. All right, welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast. I'm Alex Stonehouse, your host. And today with me is Bernadette Lani, my co-host, and we are joined by Andrew McDowell, who is the Senior Director of Data Science and Analytics here at Procurated. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
Thanks for having me.
So we'd like to start off today by giving everybody a little bit of background on who you are, where you came from, and how you ended up working with us here at Procurated. So I've had the pleasure of working with you now for, I think, 4 or 5 years at this point here at Procurated and at one of our previous companies. And so I'm super excited to have you on the podcast today. As someone who has benefited from your knowledge and your insights over the last several years. But why don't you give everybody a little bit of background on how you got into data analytics and how you started out your career?
Sure. So as you said, my name is Andrew McDowell, Senior Director of Data Science and Analytics here at Procurated. And how did I get into it? So I would generally claim that I fell backwards into data analytics. I had studied at a liberal arts school undergrad, math and philosophy. And then at a school, ended up getting a job at a small consulting firm based out of Bethesda, Maryland, named MarketBridge. I ended up staying there for 4 years. And I was in our analytics wing, and we were a marketing consulting firm. I was in the analytics side of the house. And that's where I first learned really any and all of what I do here and at other roles I've had. So that was, you know, the learning the technical chops and taking that type of growing skill set and really applying the storytelling aspect to it, again, to help our clients better understand their own business using the data that we had on them. So I spent 4 years there, and then after that was 3 years at Xometry. As Alex, you mentioned, you, myself, and our other colleague, Becca Moran, worked there. And was the director of marketing analytics when you and I were on the same team there and the marketing team there. Moved into what I'll call a more broad role, the director of business intelligence, where I was kind of applying the same type of analytical rigor across the broader team. And then after about 3 years there, I did a brief stint at Booz Allen, followed by joining Procurated exactly 1 year ago.
So in that experience, you have some different roles at different size companies. You've done the in-house role here and at Xometry, and you've done the consulting kind of hired gun role. MarketBridge, do you see a difference in terms of like when those type of roles should be deployed? Like what should some companies or some governments be thinking about hiring their own data analyst if they're a certain size, or should they be thinking about hiring a company to help them with their analytics? Kind of a two-part question on top of that. What kind of things or kind of projects could a government at the state level or the county level or city level be using data and analytics for that they might not be now?
I think there's a big benefit to bringing in an outside party, an outside perspective on a specific business problem that a private company is trying to solve or that a government agency is trying to solve. Having someone come who can come in and maybe at least from day one is seeing the forest and not just the trees because they haven't spent number of years or decades in that role can really bring a fresh set of eyes. And I'd say the opposite side of that coin is you really do, as an in-house specialist in this type of work, you get a perspective on things that you can't really come in as a 12-week hired gun. You just have to, there's a mental model of, say, you know, the technical side, just of the database and the application and what you're trying to work on that, you know, just takes a decent amount of time to acquire. So I'd say it's project dependent. It's perspective dependent.
That's a great answer. And so for, so let's say I'm working for a government who might not have an analytics person or a relationship with an agency right now. Should what I'm doing be just gathering as much data and information about things that I care about or everything that I'm doing, so that if I hire that person, they can start to dig in and analyze it? Or is it more once we decide that that's important, the person who comes in to do that analysis will just tell us what we should start recording and pick it up from there? Like, is a lot of it looking back on historical information or kind of like from now going forward?
Yeah, so I think it starts with an identification of a business problem. Even just making the determination of what type of data do we want to be tracking or storing or analyzing, you have to start with a business problem you're trying to solve. So on the sales side, if you're trying to figure out, you know, on a marketing analytics or a sales analytics side, if you're trying to figure out you want to know who your top customers are that you want to reach out to. Okay, great. So that's our business. That's our business problem we're trying to solve. Okay, we should probably look at sales data and make sure we're recording that at the point of sale and make sure that we're capturing as much, say, demographic information or segmentation information about our customer base as we can to inform that type of analysis. So, you know, in our world, what we're trying to help governments with is the performance of their suppliers. So to get to that, you know, you have to start farther upstream, which is, well, first we need to make sure we understand what suppliers are working with which government agencies, how frequently are they doing that, and what are the types of purchases and products and services that those suppliers are offering to the different government organizations. And then obviously what we need to do as procurator, we need to step in and try to request those ratings and reviews of those suppliers from the government, the government buyers, the purchasing directors, the procurement folks. And then the next step is, okay, now let's finally try to address the business problem that we started with, which is, how are our suppliers performing for us? How are they performing, say, outside of our own organization? And that's one of the features and one of the big benefits that Procurator brings is the ability to compare performance of a given supplier to agency A versus B or agency D, which is even outside of the state of A and B. And then there's so what do we do about it? So if we're able to see the performance of our existing suppliers, if we find as a government agency that one is, say, not satisfactory, well, what do we do about it? We can go into Procurator and find other businesses out there, other suppliers that are able to provide those products and services that maybe have a better or a higher rating in, you know, the type of segment or sector that we operate in. So I think bring it back. I mean, it all starts with what is the business problem we're trying to address? What data do we need to capture in order to try to assess that problem? And then making sure to close the loop of, okay, we've captured data, we've analyzed data, but what are we actually going to do about it?
And I'm sure what you're also leaving out there is a ton of iterations and like changes and tweaks and strategic decisions that you have to make between starting the loop and then closing the loop, which I would guess, not being in the data world, is where a lot of the challenges and kind of like the art that goes with it, how that comes out, that it's not just like one step in doing that. There's a lot of changes and adjustments that have to be made.
Definitely. Yeah. So, you know, for our sake, at Procurated, there's a lot of working, say, with the product team and making sure that as we're building out certain features in our platform, features that ultimately make our user experience better, ultimately make sure that our ratings and reviews, the data we're capturing about them, is more relevant to our end users and government. But also making sure that we're capturing I call them breadcrumbs. If we know that our end users are going to want to know XYZ about the suppliers that are being reviewed, we need to make sure that our application is actually capturing that. And that's not something those aren't data points we know just from day one. You know, some of those evolve over time. There's also in the background of all this work what I like to call data janitor work, which is the less pretty stuff that's, you know, shown to the end user or to the end client, but how do we make sure that the analyses that we're producing, that the data visualizations, or that even just the data that a user is viewing when they come to search a supplier on our site, how do we make sure it's right? How do we make sure that when we're talking about Main Street Hardware and a review of that supplier. We're talking about Main Street Hardware from Cambridge, Massachusetts, or from Trenton, New Jersey. Really just the machinations behind making sure that what our application is presenting to our users is right and relevant and up to date. There's a lot of that goes on behind the scenes. And you know, I know the goal for myself is, if I'm doing my job right, no one notices that it's being done correctly because the data is there and it's clean and it's, you know, it's useful.
I think one of the most important words that you just touched on is the idea of being relevant. I almost think of it as there's the data that you present can be almost three different things, right? It can be not interesting or relevant, in which case, let's not look at it. It can be interesting, but not relevant. So I've seen charts online or on LinkedIn or wherever, where you see a stat and you go, oh, that's interesting. Like it's some astronomical stat where this thing went up 4,000%. But at the end of the day, it doesn't actually really tell you anything. It doesn't help you make a decision. It doesn't help you choose between one supplier or another. And then you get to the part where it's both interesting in that it's something that you care about or a topic you care about, and it's relevant in that it's useful and you can actionable, you can act on it. And I think that's really what we're trying to do in terms of presenting that information for the governments that are working with us is giving them information that is actionable. And the example that I have, I'm sure a lot of people use this strategy, but basically they group their suppliers into three buckets of essentially like high risk, medium risk, and low risk. Suppliers that were low risk were suppliers that, before they even looked at ratings, were suppliers like that do low dollar value orders, right? So like someone who delivers their pencils is low risk. Whereas somebody who's doing their IT cybersecurity or who's building their new headquarters building or something like that, where it's millions of dollars, potentially dangerous, a lot of information at stake, that is kind of automatically in the high risk bucket. But then what they're doing is using the data that they get back from the supplier reviews to then bucket the rest of the people, right? So if you came back and you were 2.5 out of 5 stars, now you're in the high risk bucket, which means that you have a meeting every 3 months with somebody who's managing your contract instead of every year, which you would have had you been a 4.8 out of 5 stars. So people are starting to use that data and use those ratings as a way to divide up their suppliers and decide how often they actually need touch points, how often they need to be in communication with them. So it's kind of cool to see those governments start to think through, all right, we have all this data at our fingertips. Now, how do we actually apply it in a way that makes a meaningful impact on our end users and ultimately the results of what we're paying for?
There's a number of different ways to look at this. We've started to touch on both of them. So intra-agency and inter-agency. So what you were just describing, say, is intra-agency, where a given organization looks at the suppliers that they do business with and are able to segment them into those different buckets and then to interact with them and treat them appropriately based on how they fall into those segments. But then, you know, what I find really interesting is the ability to look inter-agency. So if you have supplier A who's performing, you know, stellar across the majority of our user base, but we find that in a given type of government agency or a given region or a given size, that this supplier just doesn't perform up to what their broader average is. That's useful and actionable information that we can provide to the agencies and provide back to the supplier, because it might just be a matter of, you know, maybe it's a product market fit between what that supplier is providing and a certain type of government agency. Maybe there's just a contact there that, you know, there's a relationship that needs to be repaired a little bit. But having an average rating in isolation of, just to make up a number, 3, you know, on the West Coast, but it's 4 on the East Coast. You know, if it was just 3 and you didn't have the 4 on the East Coast comparison, you'd say, oh, it's 3, fine. But if you can make those comparisons and say, oh, we are demonstrably below this supplier's average in XYZ area, there's a lot of action that can be taken upon.
And I guess then it falls on you to find a way to present that in a way that is accessible, easy to see, easy to find, because a lot of our government users aren't trained in, you know, like looking through all this. They just want it to be in a way that they can see it, consume it, and then make faster decisions than maybe they would have been able to otherwise.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's part of what we as Procurate are trying to offer. We want to be that service. You know, going farther back to one of the first points we were just talking about here is, you know, we are that analytics service provider that they may not have in-house. There are certainly some types of insights we could drive and we could derive based on data that, say, we get from an agency or, you know, just publicly available data that they could find on their own. But there's data that we are generating or our users are generating and we are compiling and able to aggregate on our platform that exists only on our platform. And we are the ones in the position where, you know, we want to be able to turn around to these agency partners of ours and say, hey, based on the feedback we've gotten from your users and from users across the country, here are the insights that we have generated. Here are the suppliers that are performing really great for you. Here are the suppliers who have actually performed great in the past and for some reason have degraded over time, declined over time. And oh, here are some of the key reviews and the key pieces of feedback about that supplier in the last X number of months that kind of indicate or help shed some additional light on why that performance or that perceived performance has gone down over time.
So they say when you go to a foreign country, you know that you've really learned the language once you can start dreaming in that the new language that you've been immersed in. Do you find that you are dreaming in spreadsheets and numbers and equations when you go to sleep?
Yeah, so this is going to make me sound like a real dork. So the tool I use all the time is called SQL SQL, so Structured Query Language. It's a way of accessing relational databases. I don't have too many dreams these days in SQL, but there was definitely a 3 or 4 year period a little earlier in my career where that was a big part of what I would dream at. Thanks for calling that.
Just wake up sweating.
That's so funny. was that in the kind of like heat of your learning part of your career kind of,
yeah,
or just really like ramping up and.
Oh, especially, well, you know, it's when you go from, as I said, I fell backwards into it. So when you go from having never heard of the term SQL to spending basically all your waking hours inside of a database writing it, there's a period where your brain is just thinking, oh, this is just what we do now. So this must be important. I think it's fair to say that the career I've found myself in and I've taken has informed how I see other parts of the world outside of, you know, my day-to-day life. I'm certainly constantly wondering if different applications or different things in my life are tracking data appropriately. And, you know, why can't I, when I buy food from the grocery store, why can't I get a download of all my purchases off of their website? Like, I use their rewards card. Let me see what I've bought in the last.
You know that data exists, so they're using it to give you coupons and all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. I just want to get to it.
I would love to know just a project or an impact that you've been able to have over your career that you're just extremely proud of.
So I'd say there's the personal growth types of answers to that. So as I alluded to earlier, there's a lot of work that goes into behind the scenes in this type of role that I call data janitor work. I didn't coin that term. I stole it from somebody. But there's a lot of work that goes into cleaning up the database, making sure that data coming in from different disparate sources are clean, consistent, and usable. Gathering data outside from additional sources. What can you grab off the internet? What can you scrape from different web pages? Personally, the things I've enjoyed a lot most recently are figuring out ways to just automate as much of that as possible. You know, we're a small, scrappy company. There's only so many hours in the day to spend doing recurring tasks, cleaning things up, all that. So any place I've been able to figure out how to automate my own self out of those processes, I just take a bunch of pride in that, especially if it's something I've been doing for 8 years. And finally, in the ninth year, I realized how to automate it. Isn't that exciting? And then I'd say externally, what I really enjoy is when I'm able to see that the end product of that long work stream, again, getting data, cleaning data, loading it, aggregating it, identifying the business questions, iterating through analyses, and finding some answer that actually helps an end user, my customer being you, Bernadette, and Alex, or anyone else in the company, finally getting to the end of that and saying, okay, here is a piece, here's a tidbit of information that helps us decide, do we turn left or turn right? And sometimes we don't know if we need to turn left or right. And you know, the work that I do is able to tell us, turn left, maybe go straight. Actually helping to inform people's decisions and helping make them feel more confident that they're making the right decision because we have some data to back it up. That's what I enjoy doing.
So the final question we like to ask people on the podcast is there anyone who has really impacted your career and your career growth that you'd like to give a shout out to on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to come up short with being able to name everybody, but let's definitely want to give a shout out to Carrie, Rachel, Donnie, Bashar, Mike, Eric, and a whole bunch of other folks I've worked with in the past.
Thank you for joining us today, Andrew. This was an awesome podcast. Everyone, I think, is really going to enjoy this episode, so I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for listening to Decisions That Matter. This podcast is brought to you by Procurated, the leading supplier evaluation tool for procurement professionals across the U.S. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. See you again next time.